Our scripture passage is from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, focusing especially on that fourth verse. The good word of our God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. As we reflect upon joy in the Bible, we tend to contrast joy with happiness. Joy is tethered to God, while happiness is based upon circumstances, which is conditional and fleeting happiness, where joy is something that is a stable, a lasting, an enduring reality. We may think of passages like Habakkuk chapter 3 that was preached this past Sunday evening, where Habakkuk recounts the reality of the very difficult circumstances before him, that the fig tree is not blossoming, there's no fruit in the vine, there are no cattle in the stall, the produce of the olive has failed, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Or we may consider an aspect of joy founded upon God as the one in whom we delight. He is our heart treasure. The Lord Jesus in the gospel is the pearl of great price. We want to seek the Lord and things above first, knowing that God will add all to us that we need. Perhaps as you think about joy, you may think about the joy of a renewed relation with the Lord. The people in Nehemiah's day, as they heard the word of God and responded in renewing the covenant with their God, spoke of the joy of the Lord is our strength. Jesus associated joy with a resolve to follow after him and to consider his commandments. He reminds us as we keep his commandments that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. All of this, of what the Bible teaches about joy, is true and important. But this approach and understanding of joy, of these various passages of the Bible, is not at the heart of what our passage in 2 Timothy is about when the Apostle Paul speaks of being filled with joy. 2 Timothy is Peter's last letter. It's known as his last will and testament. It was written under the shadow of looming death as he writes from prison. He later writes in the book, I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. And he wants young Timothy and all who would follow after Timothy down to our day today to guard, to keep the good deposit of the message of the gospel, of the truth of who Jesus is, that we might pass it on pure and uncorrupted to the next generation. The book of 2 Timothy, unlike some of other of Paul's letters, is deeply personal. It's almost entirely focused upon Timothy. John Calvin said of this book that Paul writes here not in ink, but but in his own life blood. We find his own passion, his own strong emotion here. Well, as we think about joy and being filled with joy as Paul describes it here, I have 2 points for us this morning. The first is a more lengthy one than the second. And that first is that is the joy of Christian fellowship, the deep joy of fellowship with fellow Christians, and specifically the joy of Paul at the prospect of seeing and enjoying fellowship with Timothy. Here in the book of 2 Timothy, we see the close bond between the aged apostle Paul and the spiritual relationship and affection that he has with his younger protege, Timothy. These verses here contain such intimate language of love, of affection for one another in the body of Christ. Paul has described himself here in chapter 1 as the Lord's prisoner. He writes this letter to Timothy from his second imprisonment under the persecution of Emperor Nero around the year AD 64. Paul had left Titus at Crete, and he left Timothy at his beloved Ephesus, where he served the church for over 2 years. It was while Paul was there in prison that he considers Timothy and the affection that the Lord has in his heart for Timothy. Paul writes from prison. Eusebius, an early church historian, describes Paul's circumstances that he was in a dismal underground dungeon with a hole for light and air. Paul writes in verse 16 of chapter 1 that he is in chains. And in chapter 2, he speaks that he is in fetters like a criminal. Here he is in prison, in a hole in the ground, suffering from acute loneliness in the cold, the boredom of prison life. He records in chapter 4 that his preliminary hearing of his case was taken and heard, and he's awaiting the final verdict. But he has no expectation of being acquitted, that death appears inevitable. And he expresses his desire to see and to enjoy Christian fellowship and friendship with Timothy before he's promoted to glory. Here in our passage, he describes Timothy as his beloved child. Paul, some years earlier, during his first missionary journey, visited Timothy's hometown of Lystra, and he proclaimed the gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Lord used Paul's preaching of the gospel to bring Timothy to conversion, to a living faith in the Savior. During Paul's second missionary journey, he went back and revisited some of the churches that were planted during his first journey, including the church at Lystra, where there was one disciple named Timothy. He was spoken well by the brothers. And we learn of the deep and strong affection between Paul and Timothy. In Corinthians, he describes Timothy as my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. And Timothy accompanied Paul on the rest of that second missionary journey, And even through his third journey, he became Paul's representative, his emissary in Macedonia, in Corinth, in Philippi, to the church at Ephesus. And Timothy went to Jerusalem and then to Rome to see Paul in Rome during Paul's first imprisonment, where Paul and Timothy, by the grace of God, co-authored five epistles, 2 Corinthians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Colossians, were all written by Paul with Timothy by his side. And while others deserted Paul, Timothy remained faithful and loyal. Paul describes of Timothy, "I have no one like him." John Stott gives a great little summary about Timothy's disposition. Stott writes that Timothy was young in years, frail in physique, and retiring in disposition, but he was a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy was perhaps Paul's closest disciple, a spiritual heir, not only of his gospel and the theology he proclaimed, but also his successor in his beloved church where Paul served at Ephesus for over 2 years. Paul and Timothy co-labored in the gospel for about 20 years. And it had been some years since Paul had written 1 Timothy, when 2 Timothy is now written. And now Timothy is in his 40s. And as Paul writes from that cold prison, and as he remembers Timothy in prayer, he becomes deeply moved with a great desire, a longing that he might see and spend time with Timothy, that he might enjoy fellowship and friendship with him. This is what's highlighted for us here in verse 4. "As I remember your tears," that's Timothy's tears, "I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy." As Paul remembers Timothy in prayer, he recalls Timothy's tears. Acts chapter 20 tells us that when Paul said farewell to the church at Ephesus, and it's very clear that Timothy was present with those Ephesian elders, that the whole company shed tears. But the tears likely spoken of here by Paul are tears perhaps a few years later when Timothy and Paul departed, or rather when Paul was taken to imprisonment, and there was a tearful goodbye and farewell as Paul is carried off to Rome. And these tears recalled to Paul a pledge of Timothy's love and of the day in which they will be united, he desired in this world. But if not in this world, he knew that for all eternity, he would be with those who have been given to our Savior, that he would be united in fellowship, perfect, unbroken fellowship with Christ and with the Lord's people, including Timothy. Joy is one of the marvelous themes of the Apostle Paul in his writings. Here he speaks of being filled with joy. He expects a reunion with Timothy, and he uses this word, to be filled with joy. It's one of his go-to phrases in the New Testament. He uses it 23 times. And here he's using it in the sense of being filled with joy, this being filled in a passive tense, that God is the one who is doing the filling. God is the one who has given the joy at the prospect of he and Timothy being united together. That the Lord is the one who brings his people together. Did not our Savior, does he not pray for us? Does he not desire that we might be one? That we might enter into the joy, the rich and deep joy of Christian fellowship. A friend of mine recently passed to glory, a dear man, but a man who had a greatly mistaken reputation for being supposedly harsh to people. These people certainly did not know this man. He was truly a kind, a gentle, a wise Christian man. Well, Paul too had a mistaken reputation. We see here Paul's gentleness, his tender love, his deep affection, his desire to encourage the rough and tumble, stern apostle is not afraid to share his need for close Christian friendship, for fellowship, for companionship. There is indeed a close bond of affection that our Savior gives us as his people, one with another, that he himself has forged through his life blood. Perhaps you've heard of the minister from England of a former day by the name of John Fawcett. He was a young minister in Wingate, Yorkshire area in northern England. His people were dear people. They were hardworking, but they had practically next to nothing. They gave him a more meager stipend as a minister's salary. They would give him wool and potatoes. They did not have a parsonage. And so John and his wife Mary and their four children would stay in the homes of their members, being passed from one family to another every few months, did not have a home that they would call their own. Well, one day, after John had been their minister and pastor for 7 years, he received a call. He was becoming known as an established pastor, theologian, inspiring preacher and scholar, and he received word from London of a call. It was a dream come true to move to the lively town of London, and his family's living standard would have been greatly enhanced. And after much prayer, Fawcett responded to London, yes. And the family packed their belongings. They climbed up into the wagon. This is in the 1770s. They waved to the people. Tears were shed as John and Mary and their children were leaving. And they made some distance away from the church and the people. And John said to Mary, "We've got to turn around, for there's such a bond of love and affection." He turned around and went back and served in Yorkshire for another 45 years. And John Fawcett, reflecting on the bond between he and his family and the people there, wrote the lyrics to the hymn that we sung today, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds," a marvelous hymn that speaks of the bond of friendship and love, of affection in the body of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So this passage is all about joy and being filled with joy, but it's the joy of Christian fellowship, the bonds of friendship in our Savior, in the body of Christ at times may be closer and dearer than even our own nearest of family relations. The Bible speaks that there is no Lone Ranger Christianity. It was one of the Wesleys who said that the New Testament knows nothing of solitary religion. We do not live alone. We are members of one body. We are part of Christ's family. We are to be responsible and caring for one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul speaks of the marvelous bond of the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace that we experience as brothers and sisters in the body of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we each need the body of Christ. We need others to come alongside us, to give us comfort, and to provide encouragement, to correct us as we need correction or rebuke. Think of all of the one another passages in the Bible. Now, I know we have been through and are still going through COVID. I think our first Wednesday at First back 3 weeks ago perhaps was a small sampling of the joy of coming together and enjoying friendship with each other. And same as we gather on Sundays, as ladies' circles are reconvening, and as various Sunday school classes are coming together, teaching us at this time the importance of the fellowship that we enjoy in our Savior Jesus. Well, that's my first point, the long point, and it's the joy of Christian fellowship. The second is much shorter, and that is that there is a link in this passage between thanksgiving and joy. As Paul passes on leadership to Timothy, he gives thanks for Timothy. And it's as he gives thanks to Timothy in prayer that he realizes the great treasure of Christian fellowship and friendship, this marvelous gift from the Lord. And thanksgiving is not just something that we are to do once a year that we'll be remembering next week. It is to be the attitude of our entire lives. That is the overwhelming sense of the Apostle Paul as he considered the marvel of the gospel and what God had done in making two one, bringing Jew and Gentile together in one body in the church. So we too, as we have that spirit of great thanksgiving and praise to God, that leads to the importance of maintaining the gift of fellowship one with another. This is part of what Paul is driving home to the believers in the book of Philippians, where the theme of joy is perhaps more pronounced and elaborated in the book of Philippians. There are 15 specific references to joy in the book of Philippians. But it's in this book in which he reminds us that we are to have that same mind, that same love, being in full accord and of one mind, doing nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than ourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. It is as we are thankful to God, which is one of the opening themes in the book of Philippians, that we are to be filled with joy. Joy and thankfulness coexist. How could one truly be filled with joy without truly being grateful to God? And is not joy an overflow of thankfulness in our hearts to the Lord as we consider how good and kind he is to us? Hermann Ostry, his barn was under 29 inches of water, for the nearby creek had risen. And this was in Bruno, Nebraska. And this farmer Hermann invited some friends to help with the barn raising. He needed to move his entire 17,000 pound barn 143 feet up a slight incline away from the creek. Now, his son Mike devised a lattice network of steel tubing and of welding hundreds of handles to this barn and to this lattice of metal tubing. And after a brief practice, 244 volunteers slowly walked the barn up the slight incline for it to rest on the new foundation in approximately 3 minutes, with no one effectively lifting more than the equivalent of about 50 pounds. And Hermann was filled with great joy and gratitude to each of those folks who helped him in his community. And his son writes how that shaped the rest of his life of a new and appreciation and gratitude for those in his community that came to his aid. Now, I know in the body of Christ, as we experience true and genuine fellowship, a depth of friendship in our Savior Jesus, there is joy, there is thanksgiving to God. There's also a way in which we are changed by that. Just as this farmer was now grateful and had a new relation with those who came to his aid, may we too, as a family, as the body of Christ here in Columbia, may we be those who seek to enter into the enjoyment of fellowship. And may this bring true joy to our lives, especially for such a time as this in our nation. What an expression of the grace and working of God in our day, where there are many problems, manifold difficulties, but for the Christian to express joy, and joy because of the fellowship that we share with one another, is such a testimony of the light of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his transforming grace. Well, let's give him our thanks and pray that our enjoyment of these blessings of Christ, of Christian fellowship, might continue to grow, that we might rejoice and have joy in him and in each other. Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord and loving Heavenly Father, how good and kind you are. We rejoice in the great things that you have done and are doing in our lives. We know that our nation needs you. We need renewal. We need revival. We need it as well in your church, and we cry out to you for it. We rejoice in the marvelous blessing of friendship, of genuine fellowship one with another, and how much we need each other. Help us to enter into more of the experience you would have for us as your people here, that we might love and serve and help each other, that we might grow together in the faith, that we might enjoy the true joy of Christian fellowship. We thank you for one another. We pray that even as we approach Thanksgiving, that we as your people would be truly grateful, that that gratitude would be expressed in our relationships with one another and those in our families. We give you our praise and our thanks. In Jesus, our marvelous Savior's name, we pray. Amen.